You're listening to an audio sermon by Pastor Bernard Mulder from Household of Christ. We trust that you will be encouraged and blessed as you listen to the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Like I said, I'm going to minister on be a person with heart. Be a person with heart. Christianity is all about the heart. As a matter of fact, it's about the purity of our hearts. And that purity must be kept. This is what makes Christianity different than all other religions. Our God is a holy God. And He's not looking for good people. He's looking for holy people. Am I talking to the right people here? It's impossible to be holy, but our God, who knew no sin, became sin so that we can become the righteousness of God. By the blood of Jesus, we're allowed into the Holy of Holies. Today is Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday. Next weekend, Easter weekend. Amen. But it's Palm Sunday. And at Palm Sunday, there were some significant things that happened. But I want to ask you the question that what you believe with your heart, or more important, what you're confessing with your mouth, will you be confessing the same thing next week? Because there's a need for us to remain focused, to hold on to our confession. Matthew 21, verse 9, I'm reading from the NASB translation. It says, "The crowds going ahead of him and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!' When he had entered Jerusalem, all of the city was stirred, saying, 'Who is this?' And the crowds were saying, 'This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee.'" Can I tell you something? The same people that shouted, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," 1 week later, they were shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." To show us that man is fickle. But more than anything, we have to examine our own hearts. Ask ourselves, will my confession remain the same? In 1 week, they went from celebration to condemnation. Say, Ana. From celebration to condemnation. Their faith was not based on revelation, what they knew about Jesus, but only what they saw, what they heard other people say. Imitators. The biggest problem that we have today. Turn to the person next to you and say, "Be an original." Turn to the person on the other side, say, "Be an original." You know, don't be a copycat. God has made you to be one of a kind. And everybody today wants to be like other people. Be yourself, amen? If you're going to imitate, Paul says, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." Amen? Let's imitate Christ and become more like Christ. As a church, let me tell you something. To walk the narrow road, you need revelation why you should be on the narrow road and not on the broad road. If you don't have revelation of the value to walk the narrow road, it's easy to slide onto the big open highway. In 1 week, 1 week. I mean, there's many examples in the Bible. Paul, the one minute they thought he was a god, the next minute they wanted to kill him. The same thing. So I think in this, there's a message for all of us. When we sing God's praises, what will be my heart's desire? What will it be that's in my heart that I would confess in the coming week? Because God is looking for those with a loyal heart. God is looking for those with a loyal heart. He looks at our heart. It's everything about the heart. David said, "Lord, create in me a pure heart and a contrite spirit." A matter of fact, in the book of Chronicles, it says that the Spirit of God moves to and fro, looking, searching out for those with a loyal heart. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His. Have you given your heart completely to Jesus? The NIV says, "To strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." If you want God's full support, give him every part of your heart. A matter of fact, the Holy Spirit, God's presence, are seeking out those. Are you still seeking out the Holy Spirit? Strong support, encouragement comes from God. He can see those with a loyal heart. Amen? So as I was reading this, I was actually going in a completely different direction. Completely different direction. And God said, just read a little bit further. And I read a bit further. And I could see how God was challenging, Jesus was challenging the people of that day to give God the rightful place in their hearts. Have you given God the rightful place in your heart? You know, as Christians, as we are preparing the church, the body of Christ, for Jesus' second coming, it's all about the heart. That's why I started earlier and I asked who got offended this week. Because those things are out there. Amen. We're not in heaven yet. Turn to the person next to you, say, we're not in heaven yet. So the way that God works in every person's life is different. And I want to just touch on a few things that Jesus did. Because when we draw close to God, we cannot draw close to God with our mouths. People were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. With their mouths drawing close, but their hearts were far away. Because 1 week later, they were crying, shouting, crucify him, crucify him. Matthew 15 verse 8 teaches us that they draw close with their mouths, with their lips. They want to honor me and magnify me and say, Jesus, we love you. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But their hearts are far from me. I want to challenge you this morning. Let your heart get close to God again today. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. That's what it's all about. Turn to the person next to you and say, buckle up. Turn to the person outside and say, buckle up. You know, as I grow in the things of the Lord and walk, I realize it's not about me preaching this to you. Can I live this? It's not about preaching a sermon. Can you go live one sermon? It's not saying I've been in church, I've heard so many sermons. How many are you living? How much of your life are you busy aligning with the Word of God? Because it's only this living Word that makes impossible things possible. For us to live successfully, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need people of heart. People that will listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit in their hearts. People that will be led by the Holy Spirit. Those are the true sons of God. And as I just read a little bit further, there's two profound things that Jesus did. Just quickly go to John 2 verse 25 in the Amplified Bible. Can you guys just put that up for me, please? And he did not need anyone to bear witness concerning man, needed no evidence from anyone about men. For he himself knew what was in human nature. He could read men's hearts. So when they were shouting, Hosanna, 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 blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. God was knew exactly what was going on in their hearts. And from there, immediately he walked into the temple. And this just touched me. I said, God, you're obviously saying something here to us. Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. The other gospels say a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. You know what he was doing? He said, you've seen me, but if you really want to see me, you'll need a pure heart. And he went into the temple and he started purifying and cleansing the temple. That's what he started doing. This is very profound. It symbolizes certain things, and we have to look at it very carefully. He went in number one, and he turned over the tables. And I was asking myself, what are the things in my heart that Jesus would turn over today? What tables have I placed there, things that he's not pleased with? The seat of those who sold doves. I mean, what's the significance of that? You know, doves, turtle dove, was the poor man's offering. In the book of Leviticus, it says if you don't have a lamb, in other words, if you're not in a position to bring a lamb as a sacrifice, the Lord's heart was for his people, for every person to be able to bring a sacrifice. He said, if you don't have a lamb, don't worry, two turtle doves will do. If you bring that with all your heart in humility and sincerity of heart, it serves the same purpose as a lamb or those that can bring a bull. Can I have a loud amen? Amen. Because sometimes we think only those that have a lot are really blessed. I think I'm going to preach on this. Let me tell you something. Sometimes when people have a lot, it's not a blessing, it can be a curse. You look shocked. Because if you look at things with your natural eyes and not by revelation, that which you make your God, that which you place more worth on than Jesus himself, Romans says God will give you over to that thing. Am I talking to the right people here? Turn to the person next to you and say, purity of heart. So if somebody makes money their God, Jesus only compared himself to money. He says, who will you serve, Mammon or me? So if you make money your God and you put it above everything else and you worship that, number one, the thing that you worship, you'll become like it. That's why we are called to worship God, so to become more like God. But if you worship money, you'll become more like money. Hard, clinical, ruthless, rude. That's the nature of money. Jesus was meek and kind. So the thing that you place the most worth upon, you'll become like it. And then God will give you over to that thing. So somebody can be given over to money and they can have a lot of money, but there's judgment upon them, not favor. God's face are not shining upon them. They've been given over to that thing. Enoch. So he turned over the tables and the seat of the money changers and those who sold doves. Why? Because that which was supposed to be easy to come and bring a sacrifice, people sat there now taking advantage of the poor. Number one, exchanging money at high rates to make extra money, because those that traveled from afar had to change their currency. So the money changers would take advantage of the people there. And then those that didn't have money, didn't come with a lamb, they had to bring the offering of a dove. And Jesus turned those tables over. Let me leave this thought with you. Our precious Jesus, the Lamb of God, offering was two turtle doves. Did you know that? Jesus' parents offering for him. Remember, the Bible says the first fruit, the firstborn belongs to God. It's holy unto God. So the Jewish people had to come to the temple and bring a sacrifice for their firstborn. So when they brought Jesus, the offering was not a lamb. The Lamb of God's offering was two turtle doves. Oh my word. I want to get emotional when I think about that. Let me tell you something. To show all of us that even if you have nothing, you have something to offer to God. Luke 2 verse 22, and when the days For their purification according to the law of Moses were completed. They brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. They had to bring an offering for him to be declared holy. And what they brought, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. These money changers, what they did is, the area in the temple that was reserved for other nations, for the Gentiles, you and me, they started using that space that was supposed to be used to worship God for trading, for money. So those that should come in and worship God now, you and me, the Gentiles, we couldn't because they were sitting there selling their stuff. Outwardly, we're just here to help the poor. You know, they've come with nothing. We're just going to sell them some doves. But inwardly, greedy hearts just looking for money. That dove represented an individual's humility and sincerity to want to be right with God. Bringing the very least to say, God, I want to be in right standing. And God says, listen, have you not heard? My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. I want everybody to gather together. You are using this excuse, keeping other nations out. But I see the real you. And he overturned those tables, that seat. Who's sitting on the seat of your heart? The throne in your heart. Who's sitting there? Is it Jesus? Or is any other thing or anything moved in there? Turn to the person next to you, say, purity of heart. Turn to the person on the other side, say, purity of heart. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? What was he doing here? He was saying to them, you are the temple. Go and look at your own heart. I don't have time to go in, but the temple, if you unpack the temple, it actually looks like a human being. And this temple, it's you. Your body is the temple. That's why you may not defile the temple of God. And your heart has become the altar. Your heart is the place of communication. Your heart is your spirit, and your spirit is your heart. Amen? And he's saying, what is there that you have to remove? Can I tell you what is one of the mistakes that the people made in those days? Jesus became one of the things in their lives, and he was not the only thing. We have to purpose a week before Calvary. Make Jesus the thing. Not one of the things. He wants all the other things in your life as well. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. God wants to add everything that you desire. He wants to add it to you. But make him the number one thing. Amen? Can I have a loud amen? Amen. So those tables and seats, they represent certain things. What are the things in your life that needs to be overturned? What are the things that you just have to overturn? I often ask myself, what kind of a pastor do I want to be a year from now? What kind of a husband do I want to be a year from now? What kind of a father do I want to be a year from now? And what needs to change for me to become that? What are the things in my heart that needs to be overturned? Am I talking to the right people here? That was the first thing. He went into the temple. It's a message to us a week before Jesus' crucifixion. Let us remove everything that's not pleasing to God. And he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. I'm not even going to go there. They were baptized into one spirit, to be one body, to speak in one language, a heavenly language. Church, the temple, cannot be in such a way that certain people are excluded or pushed out. Can I have one amen? Amen? It's for us to come together. 27 different cultures in household of Christ. That's the church. He said, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. I want nations to come together to worship me. I'm just going to leave you with this. Money is the one thing that can choke the word of God out of your heart. Give Jesus the rightful place. The Bible says the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this world and all other things, it chokes the word of God out of our hearts. Our focus should be on Jesus in everything that we do. Amen. The second thing that Jesus did is, the next morning when he woke up, he saw a fig tree. And when he walked to the fig tree, there was leaves, but there was no fruit. And you know the story how he cursed. He says, there'll never be any fruit ever again. And it started withering away immediately. And the disciples asked him, what is this? What's the meaning of this? So I want to tell you now, the second thing that I want to ask you, to search your heart and look at your heart. The fig tree represents religion, the law. Are you a religious person? Are you a person that places a lot of laws upon people? Because when the law came, sin revived and I died. I'm not saying break the law. Jesus came to fulfill the law. But let us be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Can we be led by the Holy Spirit? It's about relationship and not religion. Turn to the person next to you and say, relationship, not religion. Family, the key is not to suppress the flesh. Not to suppress the flesh. Not to place laws, but to walk in the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. The more I say, don't eat the pastéis de natas, don't eat the pastéis, don't look at them, the more they jump at me. The more I want them. Amen? Anybody got a desire to touch this pulpit right now? No, nobody. Put a sign here, do not touch. Just put a sign here, do not touch the pulpit. Then you'll see people will come. So when you put laws, people want to immediately move in the opposite direction. James 3 verse 12 says something profound. It says, can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? It says, can the law produce the anointing? It says, it's impossible. The law cannot produce the anointing. Cannot bring a release of the Holy Spirit. Or a grapevine bear figs. He's the vine, we are the branches. Jesus is never going to condemn you because that's what the law does. The law condemns you. Romans 8 says, when we're on Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. But if when you're under the law, there's condemnation. We are not under the law, but we're under grace. He says, as long as you remain under the law, you're going to want to kill me. You're going to want to crucify me. Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. Salt and fresh cannot. You cannot be under the law, be religious, and be in a relationship. It's all about a relationship, being led by the Holy Spirit. The law was the perfect husband. Because it will tell you the whole time what you're doing wrong. I'm very grateful I didn't get one amen from any ladies there. Amen. The law was the perfect husband in that it could only tell you what you did wrong. Thou shalt not, 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 thou shalt not. Jesus now has become the new husband that we are married to. But before you can get married to Jesus, you first have to die to yourself. A person that is married, Israel, a type of the church, was married to the law. Leading them, guiding them, pointing them in what they should do. And when they did the right thing, blessings came upon them. When they did the wrong thing, the curse came upon them. But before we can get married to Jesus, the new covenant, you first have to die. Amen. Jesus died and was made alive. Died and was made alive. In the same way, when we are crucified with Christ, we're not living under that old covenant anymore. But he becomes the new husband now. That new husband, guess what? He's not going to tell you what you do wrong. But when you make a mistake, he's going to say, okay, I'm going to show you how to do it now. And he takes you by the hand and he leads you by the Holy Spirit to show you a more excellent way without condemning you. Can I have an amen? Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Paul wrote in Galatians, he says, I want to just know one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? He says, don't think you can be in right standing through the law. It's through faith in the working of the Holy Spirit. It's about this relationship and not religion. A matter of fact, Galatians 5 verse 4 says, you who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. It says, if you want to be justified and say, I've got it all together, what does the law produce when you start getting it right? And this is a big danger, mostly for older Christians, when you've been serving God for a long time. And you've now stopped lying and stopped stealing and stopped doing all the things. You think, that produces self-righteousness because you think you're doing it. And self-righteousness is just not good before God. Because we don't rely on our self-righteousness, we rely on the righteousness that's in Christ Jesus. Amen? But the law never produced that. The law could only produce self-righteousness. And that's a stench before the Lord. But when the righteousness comes from Christ Jesus, that's pleasing. Amen? Then we're in right standing with God. Let me close with this in conclusion. This Palm Sunday, make a decision to be a person of heart. Turn to the person next to you, say, be a person of heart. Make sure your heart is in perfect relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. When you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Let your confession have your heart's full agreement. Because when your confession has your heart's full agreement, you'll be confessing the same thing next week. And you won't suddenly next week start confessing, crucify him, crucify him. The key is to allow the Word of God to dominate your heart. When the Word of God dominates your heart, your confession will have your heart's full agreement. Amen? Can I leave you with this? Allow Jesus to overturn everything in your heart that's not pleasing to him. Say, Lord Jesus, just come overturn everything that's not pleasing to you. You know, Jesus knew whatever you love more than God will become your God. And that thing then will influence you to make decisions. Can I say that again? Whatever you love more than God will become your God. The thing that you love more than God will become your God, and God will give you over to that thing. But that very thing will then influence you to make decisions. So if money has become your God, money will influence you to make decisions. But if God is your God, then God will influence you to make decisions. We live in a society where entertainment is the thing that everybody wants to pursue. Relax. Take it easy. Where Jesus is looking for laborers. Jesus is looking for those that will go out and make a difference. For him, it's all about relationship. Who can I use? Can I send you? Can you be productive? Can you know that you are blessed to be a blessing, that you are saved to save others? Or are you saved to go and retire? Are you blessed to buy a holiday home? Am I talking to the right people here? We've got so much to do for God. It's all about relationship and not about religion. Amen. I want to say this again. Don't suppress the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. I mean, do everything with all your heart. Make a decision to give Jesus the rightful place in your heart, because we have one life to live for Christ Jesus, and that life is so precious. So, purpose today, if I can leave one thought with you, do everything with all your heart. Give Jesus the rightful place in your heart, and when you serve Him, love Him, do everything with all your heart, oh my word, you will be given over to God and the things of God. And you'll see that loyal heart, that committed heart. God says, I'm going to show myself strong on your behalf. I'll be working in your life without you even knowing that I'm working in your life. Because my Spirit are looking for those with a loyal heart so that I can show myself strong on their behalf. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this audio sermon. For more information, please go to our website, www.hoc.org.za. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.